Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Whether it's relationships, work, or just with friends, there are plenty of things that I've done that I'll suddenly think about and feel ashamed of. But surely I'm not the only one who has this happen. So I'm going to be talking to a whole bunch of people and asking them about what they're ashamed of and how they think that's influenced the person they are today. This episode's guest is digital media manager, host of the podcast Hot and Delicious Rocks the Planet, and my personal friend, Dan Wilkinson.
I've obviously, you know, it wasn't the time, at that time there wasn't a lot of social media around, so I, you know, there was no one taking videos on me or anything like that, but I have seen people who have been that drunk. I would have said, no, I don't think I would have, I would have apologised to this guy. Like, I remember clearly apologising to him because he is one of the nicest guys in the world, and I just felt bad because I didn't fucking remember his name.
You're listening to Shame Feeder.
Hello and welcome to Shame Feeder. This is one where we take a little bit of a look into how we feel about maybe things we've done in the past. It might be something that you've moved on from or something that you still feel a little bit ashamed about. I'm very excited for my guest today. He's a guy I met literally in passing years ago and somehow we've managed to keep in touch. He's a guy who manages podcasting, social media, and as well as online radio, a various bunch of different areas, but he's managed to maintain a pretty decent career for himself and an amazing life, and I really want to see what he's ashamed of. So I would love to introduce Mr. Dan Wilkinson from... The way I just describe him most and foremost is Hot and Delicious, but I'll let him do a lot more describing of that. Welcome.
That's a business name, not a self-assessment. Thank you, mate.
Yeah. Maybe a bit of both.
I've got a podcast called Hot and Delicious Rocks the Planet, but it's also my business name. Yeah, no doubt the links will be up in the show notes. You can go and check that out later.
I love that you slipped that in just so I have to.
Fuck yeah.
So.
Making you work.
Look, let's describe to people first, like, because you do have many hats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about all the hats
that's
in the
bedroom,
because we are recording in your bedroom. You have worked in so many different fields. If you were to describe yourself to someone as to what you do,
now,
how would you describe that? Yes, absolutely.
In short, I'm a social media strategist. That is my main crust. I'm a content producer. I'm a radio show host. A speaker and now a university lecturer as well. So that's what I do now. But my main crust, what I make the most money from, is social media strategy. So I go in and advise big brands and organizations. I look at how they are marketing their businesses online. I look at their assets, their corporate partnerships, and work out what they should be doing in the social media space. So I'll audit their business. I'll create, I'll update their monthly reporting processes, create social media playbooks, and create strategies based around that stuff. That's the short version. So worked with Cadbury Dairy Milk Chocolate, Peroni Beer, Bulmer Cider, Philly Cream Cheese, Cancer Council Australia, Salesforce, a bunch of others.
Okay, so that's the business side.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the job you do?
I love my life, Sam. I think this will come back into the podcast a bit later, but for, you know, like I talk about a lot on my own radio show and podcast, and I didn't have a lot of confidence as a kid. You know, like I used to look at myself in the mirror and physically hate myself when I was a kid. And so to realize at age, you know, over the last year or so, about the last couple of years, I really feel happy. I fucking love my life. I am comfortable with who I am, which I wasn't when I was a kid. You know, like I'm not saying I don't have my faults, because I definitely got my faults, but it's exciting to be at a stage in your life where you are happy with who you are generally as an individual. I fuck up plenty of times, but, and also, you know, I left a full-time job just over a year and a bit ago where I was working, you know, 5 days a week and not necessarily always loving what I was doing, whereas now I generally enjoy the work I do. You know, like I probably only work with clients 3 days a week, but I generally pick and choose who I work with. So I do like my life. Yeah, I'm really happy.
Excellent. Because, okay, from my perspective, and I'll delve a little bit into how we met.
Yep.
I've always seen that you have a fair level of a boldness to you. And I think that starts even from when we met, because I met you in the queue to a podcast, a live podcast show. I was with a friend of mine, a lady friend.
Who is rather cute, yeah. Which is part of the reason why I love talking to you guys.
Well, the whole reason, I'm pretty sure. And you turned to us in the queue, and I think you probably said hello, and then one of the first things you did ask my friend was, would she like a drink? Which I was, and I have no issue with that, but I was just like, this guy's got a certain, and I'm not saying arrogance.
To be fair, and just to interrupt for a second, I could see that you guys weren't together. Mm. I wasn't going to be approaching a guy with a girl and that I thought maybe it might be going out. It was clear to me that you guys weren't going out. I just wanted to call it out for people listening and for your sake as well.
And this is how I confront the man who stole my girlfriend. No, this is what this whole podcast premise is. I just confront people.
You don't have any knives or anything, do you?
No, but I saw that as it's a boldness, not an arrogance, but you have this, like you've said to me before, you say what you think, and you know, you put it out there to a certain extent. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, look, it gets me into trouble sometimes, but I like to know where I stand, and so I would rather be myself with people. It's something that didn't necessarily always sit well with me, because then when people reacted in different ways to how abrupt or how bold I was, I didn't necessarily know how to react. But now I like being bold, not just in person but also in life, as I'm sure you were leading to the double side of the meaning of the word bold. But it just means that whenever I'm in a situation or a conversation, people know where they stand and I know where I stand. And if sometimes I can be more abrupt and more cheeky and sometimes inappropriate humor, but you can gauge pretty quickly whether someone is into that or not. So it really helps you understand where you're at. And then I guess from the other side of things, I'm very tenacious and bold in my life, because I'm a big believer in, if you keep knocking on doors, not every door is going to open, but eventually one will. Mm. And then the more success you have, the more doors open, and then eventually people end up starting to come to you.
So you mentioned before, you love your life and what you're doing. What would you say are the main things you love about like work and life for you at the moment?
It's just, I am, okay, so at the moment I'm probably working 3 days a week at the most on client stuff. Mm-hmm. The stuff I'm actually working on, I genuinely enjoy. Like I genuinely pick and choose who I work with. It's fortunate. It's the wrong word. I hate saying lucky and fortunate, as we clearly established before, because I've actually worked for this. Mm. But to be, and this is not a boast, this is just, I guess, being able to hopefully encourage other people to chase it. But I'm making similar money in 2.5 days a week that I was making in 5 previously, and I'm actually love what I do now. And because, even though on those 3 days a week, I'm working with clients and I'm dealing in strategy and that sort of stuff. And with strategy, you generally make a recommendation, and there's a good proportion of the time they won't necessarily take all your recommendations. Mm. But because the rest of my week, I'm working on my radio show and podcast, and I'm doing my photography for my 2 Instagram accounts, and I do it exactly the way I want to do it, it means that I've got the outlet where I have complete creative control over that sort of stuff as well. So, and it's a really good balance, because also because I get to work with big brands who will spend money in the digital space, I get to learn the tricks of the trade that they're in the industries that they're in. But also means I get to work in different industries as well, because before I left my full-time job, I pretty much only worked in fast-moving consumer goods, including alcohol brands and chocolate and peanut butter and other sort of stuff. Whereas now, over the past year, I've worked with not-for-profits, I've worked with business-to-business, I've worked with finance businesses, currently working on a beauty product. That's as specific as I'll get. But so I'm continually learning. My biggest thing in life is I need to feel like I'm moving forward all the time, developing as an individual, personally and also professionally as well. So did I answer the question?
I think you've covered a lot of things you're liking and the things you're doing. What's the one thing you love most about what's going on in your life at the moment?
Wow. I'm trying not to leave dead air.
No, it's fine. This is a podcast.
I think the word freedom is probably most apt.
Yeah?
Because is that You said one thing, but like, yeah. I'm using a word to describe
how I feel. No, I get it. The freedom
so
that you're getting
the
out of
freedom of my situation. You know, the fact that, I mean, I'm going to get up Monday morning, I'm going to have to go to work at this agency that I'm doing a pitch for, but a lot of Mondays, I won't get out of bed till 10 or 11 o'clock and I'll fucking go for a walk and a swim and then I might start some work and then on Monday afternoons I might just, but I generally won't schedule any meetings for Monday afternoon. I'll generally just do fun stuff on a Monday afternoon. So yeah, freedom I think is probably the word.
I'm realizing a flaw in this podcast.
Got what, bud?
I'm realizing a flaw in this podcast.
What's the flaw?
I'm trying to do something fun and you've just reminded me of everything I don't get to do.
But we're having fun right now, man.
No, I know, but you get to sleep in, you get to go swimming in like all your spare time. That sounds like an amazing life.
But dude, that's also come from struggle as well, because my life hasn't always been that way. It's been a life of design and that sort of stuff. You know, I very much chase the stuff that I want to do. But like, and when we get to the, you know, the actual, the chain part, you know, I used to be an Emirates Airline flight attendant for you guys listening. I know Sam knows this already, but I used to be an Emirates Airline flight attendant based in Dubai, and I was based in Dubai from 1999 till 2006, and I left an $80,000-$100,000 a year job where I was being paid to travel the world, 5-star hotels, pretty girls, disposable income, and then I came back at age 29 with grand plans of being a rock star, living in the USA within 6 months, but in reality it ended up being living with my parents, and because I was starting again I was making like $25,000 a year. Ladies, I'm sorry. So it wasn't always easy, man. Like so it's been a lot of hard work, and it's been like, you know, 11 years from here till now. That's probably why I'm also so happy as well, because I know how much I've fucking worked to get to where I am now. So we're going to chat about it more because I'm actually going to have Sam on my podcast after this as well. But I'm really fucking proud of you, man. Like you are doing stuff, even though you're living, you know, you don't always see it when you're living with yourself all the time. You are growing. You are doing more stuff than you were doing 2 or 3 years ago. So just fucking keep pushing, brother.
Thank you. Well, look, you mentioned the shame part. We've sort of covered off as much as we can in like 10 minutes, everything that's going on in your life. Mm-hmm. And I would never try to claim that you can successfully condense someone's entire life and what they're achieving and what they're doing at the moment in 10 minutes. But we know the brief overview of you. So now I want to take a look at what you're ashamed of.
So I'm gonna have just about to take my pants off.
Keep up to date on the latest episodes by subscribing to Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and all other apps.
So the whole premise of this is, of course, to find out about, you know, we get to know someone each episode. We get to know what they're doing, maybe what they're happy about their life, if they're successful, you know, how they're successful. But everyone has something they're ashamed of. I've got plenty. That's why I did this podcast. I constantly spend my time thinking about things I'm ashamed of. But I want to know, Dan, there has to have been something at some point in your life. Maybe you're not ashamed of it anymore, but where has shame fit into your life? What are you ashamed of?
Before I answer that question, can I ask you, is there a difference between being ashamed and regret? Is it pretty much the same thing?
Going with similar.
So the answer to your question is yes. There are things that I've done in the past that I wasn't proud of. One in particular, which I can't talk about today because it's someone else's story, but the one, you know, Sam and I have just been for a lovely romantic walk.
By Bondi Beach. Love a romantic walk. You showed me a lamb shank. It was delicious.
That was an actual lamb shank, not my lamb shank.
I'm not cutting.
Well, there
out.
We are in my bed. That's fine, man. That was a really good line. You gotta fucking keep it. Yes. Well, yeah. You're happy that I showed you that lamb shank. We went for a long coastal walk, and I went for a swim, and we had a beer. But back to the question. I am one to go on tangents. So the one I'm going to give you was part of my life in Emirates Airlines. So imagine, I joined Emirates at 23, and a guy who's pretty insecure around girls, wasn't necessarily making big money before I left Australia. And then all of a sudden, you're living in expat society, community. You know, left Melbourne, all of a sudden I'm living in Dubai, traveling the world, 5-star hotels, disposable income, and it's just a party lifestyle. And there's this thing about expats community. I'm not sure expat communities. I'm not sure if you know, but then the listeners know. But it's sort of that thing when you've got an expat community overseas, people kind of tend to get a little bit more loose when they're away from home. And young people away from home with disposable income and party times, you know, leads to party times. And I guess the thing that I'm not really ashamed of it now, but it's something that I definitely wasn't proud of at the time, and it led to me changing. Is I used to get really fucking drunk, and I don't just mean on the odd occasion. There was a stage there, and I'm sorry, Mum and Dad, but I want to talk about it because I hope my Mum and Dad never hear this, because I know that it's something that alcohol is something they're concerned about. But okay. I used to get really fucking drunk, like blackout drunk, and it was partially because, I mean, there wasn't really a lot to do in Dubai. Dubai for me is a place at the time. It would have changed a lot since I left. Didn't really have a lot going on and a lot to do, and you just go out and party all the time. And the problem is you'd have, you know, I was living with my best mates. We'd drink at home. You know, my day consisted of, I'd wake up at 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. One of my flatmates and I had a similar routine. The other one would sleep all day, but him and I would get up at the same time. When we weren't working, which is probably 4 or 5 days a week, you're not working. At that point in time, they work a lot harder now. We'd get up, we'd play FIFA 2000 all afternoon, and mid-afternoon, we'd crack a beer, keep playing FIFA, and then it gets about 6 or 7 o'clock. You have a shower, you get changed, have a couple more beers, and then go out for dinner. Invariably, where you'd go to a place where it's like, not all the time, but you know, if you're going out for dinner, you'd go to a place where it was like $60 and it's all you can eat buffet and all you can drink, including spirits as well.
Oh, wow.
And we would just get fucking smashed. And I'd wake up the next day, and this is not the whole 5 or 6 years that I was there, but I would wake up the next day and not know what I'd done the night before, and I'd have to piece the night together based on text messages I'd sent and things and conversations I'd done. And then I guess, you know, for example, I met one of my now friends. I'd met him 3 times before I ever even remembered his name, and each time I reintroduce myself, and he goes, "Yeah, I know, I've already met you twice before." And just, I guess, not knowing, not being in a place of control, and also being, I've obviously, you know, it wasn't the time, at that time there wasn't a lot of social media around, so I, you know, there was no one taking videos on me or anything like that, but I have seen people who have been that drunk, and knowing that I was that drunk, and I guess being known as that person to some people, not necessarily my closest friends and whatever, but and I still, as you know, drink plenty now, but I just, it would be a very rare occasion now where I don't know what's going on. And I think and maybe that, I don't want to take one of your questions, but yeah, that's sort of, it was at the time hard to deal with, but it was also hard to let go of because you're just living this party lifestyle. And there's this FOMO, you know, the fear of missing out, and you know,
Well, one of the things I was wondering actually was, because you say, you know, that the whole community, you know, get a bit loose. Did you feel there was a pressure at all to not be ashamed of it? Were people trying to be like, you know, this is just how it is, don't worry about it, or...
There wasn't a pressure to it, no. And I think the other part of it as well is also the amount of money I fucking wasted, you know? Like, I had friends that bought houses. And in fairness, I never went to... I knew that I was going to make a lot of money with Emirates. I never went there to save money. I went there to travel the world. I wanted to make the most of the travel and that sort of stuff. If I'd saved about a third of the money that I'd spent on booze while I was there, then it would have made a difference. And like I said, I'm not saying that I was hammered that whole 6.5 years, but there was good chunks of it where I was, you know, drinking till blackout 5 nights a week, and it was just nothing else you're doing. So, but yeah, no, I don't think there was necessarily pressure. Part of it was a fear of missing out. It's just like, well, there's nothing else to do, and I've got nowhere else I need to be, and I've got money, and let's go for it. And I'm also just trying to, well, why were you doing that, man? Like, I was thinking about this on the way, and I was like, is this what you're after?
Yeah,
like,
no,
it's not a massive, it's not one incident. It's just it's a pattern of behavior, I guess,
but it's something you look back on maybe even immediately after, or?
Yeah, I was ashamed of it at the time, while I was doing it. I'm not ashamed of it now because I'm very much a believer in you are the sum of everything that you've been and done in your life, and I can't change it. So, I wasn't sure if it was what you're after or not.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you said you were ashamed of it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you, like, because you had close friends there, do you think you hid that, like, the shame?
Well, I don't think I had to be honest, because a lot of the time, the times that I'd be thinking about it was generally when I'm looking at my phone trying to piece together what happened the night before. Mm. So it's almost, and at the time, maybe it wasn't even full shame. A lot of us was like, you just got to stop doing this, dude. You know, like, it's just not fucking cool. I think the time I'd be ashamed is like that particular mate. You know, I do remember specifically one mate who I met three times before I even fucking remembered his name. Yeah. And I guess I felt ashamed. I didn't really... I would have said... No, I don't think I would have... I would have apologized to this guy. Like, I remember clearly apologizing to him because he is one of the nicest guys in the world, and just he's also one of those guys that's very caring and that sort of stuff. And I just felt bad because I didn't fucking remember his name, you know, like not really. I probably wouldn't have spoken about it as openly as what I, as candidly as what I am now. Yeah. If that's I guess answering your question.
Yeah,
like,
I
probably
is.
Wouldn't have felt comfortable discussing it openly, but then part of that is also you get to a stage, well, I've gotten to a stage in my life where I'm very comfortable with generally speaking my faults and that sort of stuff, and I'll discuss them openly as I do on my own show.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well, that's the shame, that's the story. Mm-hmm. Now I want to look at the after effects of that and sort of see how that's led to what we heard from you at the beginning, where you are now. So that's what we'll be doing next.
For extra content, check out the Sam Blacker page on Facebook.
So, Dan, you've got a great life now. Like you've said, the freedom of what you've got now, you love. But, yeah, when you were with Emirates, the lifestyle was something you weren't proud of. What was the... Was there any moment that really led to you going, okay, this has to change now? What made you decide to do the big change? Because you changed everything, didn't you?
Well, it wasn't so much of a choice. And to be clear, it wasn't my whole life that I wasn't happy with. It was just that at times, some of the ways I was living it. And there were other elements as well, which I won't go into. But what changed, it was leaving Emirates. I was no longer making $80,000 a year. And I came back. I must have come back with $15,000-$20,000 Australian in savings. And I blew through it in a very, very short space of time. And then all of a sudden, you've got no fucking money. So there is no choice. I can't actually remember when it clearly changed. But it's also, I guess it's been an evolution over the past 11 years since I came back. From doing jobs that maybe I still didn't like, you know, there were plenty of jobs that I wasn't necessarily in love with, but I have still led to me where I am now. But I guess the biggest thing ultimately is that I want what I think most of us want in life, and that's to be happy. Mm. And I genuinely love my life, and if I go out and get shit-faced and then wake up feeling guilty or bad or whatever, then that's not helping me feel happy. Plus, if I go out and spend stupid amounts of money on booze, which is money I could be spending on podcast gear or Facebook advertising to build my business or camera gear or whatever, then that feels like a waste. And I guess I'm not sure if it's all about the fear of missing out, but I wasn't unhappy with Emirates because I fucking loved the party life and I loved traveling around and that sort of stuff. But I still wasn't... What was probably missing was a lack of creative satisfaction, I guess you'd say. Yeah. And I know that you understand this because you're a creative yourself in all sorts of different ways. Whereas now... Actually, I might change my answer from freedom to being able to... I suppose freedom covers a freedom to be creative. I genuinely love that I can be creative. And if I'm hungover or lying in bed all day, then I'm wasting a day.
Yeah.
So it's just... Yeah, it comes from wanting to be happy. And if I'm pissed and hungover the next day and I'm wasting all this money, then I'm not going to be happy the next day.
So just taking a point from that then, would you say that like maybe part of the reason... you got to this lifestyle as you wanted it and you felt that the drinking was maybe preventing you?
Like the heavy drinking. Because I still drink fucking plenty. I mean, we're having a couple of beers while we're doing this.
But the crazy party lifestyle.
It's not even but is that just that, or is that also getting older as well? I don't know. I don't necessarily have the answer. Is it getting older as well? Because it's also, it becomes less novel, and it's also... if you're getting shit-faced 5 nights a week, it can get pretty boring.
Yeah.
It's just like the same old shit and it just becomes less exciting. I wouldn't necessarily say that, but it has had an impact, I guess. Okay. You'd say.
Would you have described yourself as a creative person before Emirates?
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted to be a rock star. I wrote poetry from probably age 7 or 8.
Oh, wow.
That I can remember, maybe even younger. I always, my dream, and still to this day in some ways, is to be singing to a stadium full of people and have them sing along to one of my songs. And I still want to do that. And I never realised it would probably happen this way, but if and when my TV shows happen, that I'm hoping will happen this over the next year or so, I actually want to write the theme music to nice. My own shows.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there might be another way, roundabout way of actually reaching that dream. But yes, but having said that, it still feels quite surreal to be a gentleman that dropped out of university twice and is now advising massive international brands on strategic and creative decisions for their businesses. I always probably subconsciously knew that I was an ideas person, but never realized there was actually a way for me to get paid for that. At that particular point in time, I guess as a creator, I just saw myself as a singer and a lyrics writer. Whereas, you know, like very much like yourself now, man, like I'm so fucking prolific. You know, I'm a photographer, I'm a blogger, I'm a radio show host and podcaster, and that shit just makes me happy. You know, like that I just fucking love being creative, man.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell how much you love being creative.
Mm-hmm.
Did you keep that up when you were with Emirates?
Yeah, I used to write music with a friend of mine. In fact, true story, Hot and Delicious is actually a song that I wrote whilst living in Dubai, man. Yeah. Okay. I wrote it myself. I didn't write it with my partner in crime, because when he left, I had to learn how to, you know, put like drum tracks and stuff together myself and whatever. I'm not great at it, by the way, folks. but Hot and Delicious, my business, is actually originally a song. So Hot and Delicious, do you want me to sing a little bit for you? No.
Is that copyright?
No, because it's my song. I'm not going to fucking tell it. No, I don't have to sing it.
I love if I release this, the podcast becomes popular, and then I get hit with like a copyright.
Royalties.
You're like, I demand royalties, mate. Sam.
It's a free fucking podcast. What are you talking about? But yeah, so I used to write music with a friend of mine, and that was actually a really beautiful experience, because both of us were really, really strong-minded individuals, and it was the first time in my life that I learned how to listen to someone and compromise from a creative perspective as well.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Okay. So I guess the final question is the question I would have started this last 10 minutes with, but I think it's a great way to wrap it up. Do you think the fact that you were ashamed of or regret the way you were acting when you were working with Emirates, just that time in Dubai, do you think that's influenced who you are now?
Oh, totally. I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, it being ashamed of behavior. You know, I've always been a person to... you and I had this chat when we were out for our romantic coastal walk earlier from Tamarama Beach down to Bondi. Bucket list Bondi, had a beer there.
Lovely.
It's delightful. How I changed from being someone who hated myself to wanting to like myself was at age 18, 19. I was sick of looking at myself in the mirror and physically hating myself. So I made a decision at that point in my life that I was going to strive to like myself and like who I was and be liked by others. And so ever since then, I've really made an effort. You know, I read a lot of biographies and autobiographies to learn about other people and that sort of stuff. And I've really worked hard over the past 20 odd years of my life that if I don't like something about myself enough, then work to change it.
Okay.
And some of that has been forced upon me through work and that sort of stuff, because I wasn't always a good manager and that sort of stuff. Whereas I'm now a lot better manager of people. And so that was an element of my life that I did not like about myself. And that was the change was kind of forced on me, as we sort of said, because all of a sudden I was making 25K a year or less as opposed to 80, 100 a year. But because I was that sacrifice by leaving that job was born of what wanting to love what I did in life. And it wasn't a sustainable lifestyle and the boozing wasn't making me happy. So yeah, it has. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Look, it's great to see the person it's led you to. I'm glad to have you as a mate. And,
yeah, me too, man.
Thanks for sharing your shame.
Thanks, brother. Nice one.
Thanks for listening to Shame Feeder. Keep up to date by subscribing or liking the Sam Blacker page on Facebook.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.